Good morning. So great to see everyone here gathered together for a morning of worship. Very grateful to be in God's presence together. And if you are a guest with us or have never filled out a guest card, we're thankful that you are here. And we would love to have a record of you being here. We have guest cards located right in front of you in the pew there. If you would fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate, that would be a blessing to us. Before we have a couple announcements, I would just like to first, point everyone to the wonderful arrangement of flowers before us here. These flowers are given by the Keith family in memory of Lenny. Very mindful of us still praying for the family at this time. A couple of announcements. Tonight at 5:30, the youth parents will have a mission trip meeting. We will talk about our mission trip. If you are interested in going, or youth are interested is interested in attending, or want to learn some more information, please be here at 5:30 in the youth room to learn anything and everything about the trip. And if you're just curious to hear maybe what your child will be participating in a few years, you're definitely welcome to join us as well. And that'll be right before 7 o'clock, which will be our FSYC's spring program. Looking forward to y'all leading us in worship tonight. So we're excited to be here at 7 o'clock to support them and all the hard work they have been a part of to lead us. Also, in your bulletin, you will note VBS registration has started. So you can go online to register your children and pass that information along to other families. And if you are able to volunteer, we would love to hear from you and have you volunteer. So please talk to someone on the VBS committee. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Well, let's bow our heads and start with our morning with a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful to be right here, right now. Thank you so much for calling us together, Lord, leading us to a time to worship you through song, through your word, or through prayer and meditation. Guide us this morning, opening our hearts and opening our minds to your spirit moving through us, transforming the way we think and the way we live and the way we act, showing you and showing others just how much we love you, God. And Lord, we are here to tell you that again and again this morning, and it's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's spend a few moments now preparing our hearts for worship.
Dream is fading now, I'm staring at the door. I know it's over cause my feet have hit the cold floor. Check my reflection, I ain't feeling what I see. It's no mystery. Whatever happened to a passion I could live for? What became of the flame that made me feel more? And when did I forget?
I was made to love you, I was made to find you, I was made to spoil you, made to adore you, I was made to love you. By you. You were here before me, you were waiting on me, and you said you'd keep me, never would you leave me. I was made to love, I need love by you.
The dream's alive with my eyes open wide. Back in the ring, you got me swinging for the grand prize. I feel the haters spitting vapors on my dreams, but I still believe. I'm reaching up, reaching out, reaching over. I feel the breeze cover me, called Jehovah.
Daddy, I'm on my way. Na 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 na.
Anything I would give up for you.
Na 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 na.
Everything I give it all away.
Na 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 na.
Anything I would give up for you.
Na 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 na.
Everything I give it all away.
Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
Thank you, FSYC. Big program tonight. Hope you'll be here for it. Page 525, it's appropriate that the youth sing this morning. Isaac Watts wrote this song, and he wrote 524 opposite that, same words. We sung that one more than this one. Isaac Watts was a young man, very smart young man. His father taught him how to speak, I believe, 13 languages by the time he was 14. And he trained him in the great languages, Greek and Latin, of course. And his daddy taught him as long as he wasn't in jail or prison. He was often in prison because he disagreed with the established Church of England. He was a deacon in the church, quite influential. And in those days, we'd sing out of the Bible, and the Psalms, of course, were originally songs. And young Isaac come home from church one day, and his daddy said, "Now, why didn't you sing the Psalms when we sang?" And in those days, you'd have a cantor sing a line, and then the congregation would drone a line, and he'd sing another line, and drone another line. And it was considered heresy to change any words in the Bible. And he said, "Well, I don't like that music in the church." He said, "Well, young man, if you think you can write a better song than King David, you do it." And he did. In fact, the church liked it so much, he had to write a new song every Sunday. And this 525 and 524... This version, a lot of musicians put his words to different tunes. And you have many songs in the hymnal by Isaac Watts, but you have also many composers that use his words. And this is a little more reverent than page 524, a little more thought-provoking. Let's all stand.
Thy love, O Lord, and thy love, joys me, O Lord.
morning. Good morning. So good to see all of you here together. I just love seeing you come down and you're already here ready to see what we have to talk about this morning, what God's going to share with us this morning. And you know, I usually like to start off with a question to get us kind of thinking, right? So let me ask you a question this morning. Have any of you ever had to move before? You have had to move? Where have you had to move from or to? You have had to move? Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, where have you moved? Tramway? Southern Pass Tramway, that's right. That's right. Sometimes it can be a short move, right? Sometimes it can be a long move. Well, I found online, sometimes you've seen a little moving truck, right? So I'll show you a little brochure from a moving company. That's right. It can be kind of hard to move sometimes. It can be especially hard on you all. Maybe you're moving somewhere where you don't know people, right? And so this morning, I want to tell you a little story about a boy named Andrew, okay? So listen to the story about Andrew. Andrew's dad got a different job in a different city, so they had to move. Well, Andrew's dad went ahead and went to that city because he had to start work, and he left behind Andrew and Andrew's mom and his sister. Well, that was kind of hard on Andrew because they were having to pack things up, and they didn't get to see their dad. But their dad would call home and tell them all about the wonderful community they were going to move to and the beautiful house he had found them to move into and how he was preparing everything for them. And that made Andrew feel really good because his dad would tell them everything he was doing to prepare for them to move to that new place. And that's very similar to something that Jesus has done for us. I want us to read a verse in John chapter 14, and I'll tell you how that's similar, okay? John 14:19, this is Jesus talking, says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live." You remember, it wasn't that many weeks ago we celebrated Easter, Jesus being resurrected. He rose from the dead. That's after he died on the cross for our sins, right? And we read in the Bible all the wonderful things that Jesus did and taught us. And now we're understanding that after Jesus, after Easter, after Jesus rose from the dead, he actually went to heaven. And he did that to prepare a place for us. And you know, we can talk to him anytime by praying and by listening. And we're ready to go see Jesus when the time is right. And so I want us to remember this morning that if we love Jesus and love God and tell him we believe in him, we will one day be with Jesus forever in the special place he's preparing for us. So let's pray about that this morning, okay? God, thank you so much for preparing a special place for us. We know you are waiting to spend forever with us, and we want to tell you we love you and we believe in you. Show us how to do that, God. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As our children are returning to their places, we want to invite you to take a look in the bulletin at our prayer concerns. We have a list there. I've got some names I'd like to add to that list today. Yesterday, Bobby Hurley got tangled up in some stuff and fell and scraped his face rather severely. And he is feeling some discomfort from that today, and we want to be remembering Bobby in our prayers. Also got word today that Caroline Nance is very sick at home with probably a viral thing. We want to keep her in our prayers. And just found out that Susie Johnson, and Susie's with us, is going to be having surgery tomorrow on her shoulder, and we want to keep her in our prayers. That's at Rex Hospital. And then Bill Bovair also will be having surgery on his hand tomorrow. We want to keep Bill in our prayers in a very special way. I appreciate your prayers and concern for our daughter, Becky. Becky's still at Moore County in the hospital. They have changed a lot of her medicine. We are praying that that will give us a much better result. Thank you for your prayers and concern for her. You'll see a name that we add, that of Macon Weems, but I got word this morning that he had passed away, and so we want to be remembering that family in our prayers. That was Davis's uncle. We want to keep that family in our prayers. And then also we want to continue to keep the Keith family in our prayers, Nettie especially, but all that family, just in a very special way as they continue to grieve the loss of Lenny. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the privilege of prayer. We are grateful that you have told us to come to you through prayer And as Matt reminded us, you've gone to prepare a place that one day we'll go to be with you forever. We're going to talk about that this morning. What a wonderful plan you have for us. And God, when we gather here to worship you, when we give the right energy and the right effort, Lord, we can probably come as close to you through our worship as through anything we can do. So God, would you receive our praise today? Would you receive our prayers today? Would you receive our fears today and our concern? Would you meet us in our pain? Would you grant us your peace? God, as we lift these names to you, we ask that you would bless as you know there's need for blessing. And we ask it in Christ's name.
Thank you, young people. Page 583, Hosea in Haste. Let's do the first, second, and last verses. Let's all stand.
Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to come and worship you. Bless these tithes and offerings and bless us in thy service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
sweet story. It's a song all the angels cannot sing. I'm redeemed by the blood of my Savior, and 10,000 years or more I'll praise His name.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that amazing? 10,000 years. We just begin starting. Wow. That's pretty amazing. We're going to talk about some amazing stuff today. You can hear some more amazing stuff tonight at 7 o'clock. FSYC is going to be singing for us. I'm excited about that. I hope you'll come and plan to be a part of that and show your support for them and hear the blessing as we worship God tonight through them leading us in their program. I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This will conclude our fourth Sunday we've been looking in the book of Revelation. We've talked about God's plan. We talked last Sunday about a new day dawning, and now I want you to see where that day is going to be spent. In the perfect place. A place that we have sung about today, that Christ has prepared for us. A place that Matt reminded us in the children's sermon that Christ literally has prepared for us. And now I just want us to catch a glimpse of it, because that's probably the best we can do, is catch a glimpse of the perfect place. I'm going to begin to read in Revelation 21. I'm going to read verse 10. Then I'm going to skip over to verse 22. And when we get to chapter 22, we're going to keep right on going. We're going to read all the way through verse 5 of chapter 22. John, speaking from the Isle of Patmos, says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Now verse 22. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. What an image. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us clearly now as we have read your word? We have heard your promise. And Lord, in moments of our own life and living, we have caught glimpses of it. Help us to catch a glimpse today. In Christ's name we pray. Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open it to page 608. Page 608. We're going to talk about when it's all over, but we're going to sing the hymn of invitation about until it is all over, what we're to do. We'll work till Jesus comes. I asked permission before I did this, and I received permission. If you've talked with Matt very much, especially if you and he are trying to get together on something, you're trying to put a plan together, you're trying to, and he's trying to get advice from you, or he's trying to gain your input, he will often meet you with the superlative, perfect, perfect. You'll say, well, I'm going, and you'll say, perfect. Man, that's just perfect. Yeah, boy, that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? When somebody says, perfect, perfect. Well, we live in a world that strives for perfection. But we're so far from perfect, aren't we? I mean, it's hardly a day that goes by that we don't hear of some imperfect thing, whether it be by man or by nature. Whether it be a crime, we still pray for the people in Boston from that terrible crime. We heard this week that some of our men trying to keep the peace in Afghanistan, 7 lost their lives. We live in an imperfect world. We know storms are coming this, maybe tomorrow. We know we'll be entering the hurricane season before long. This world is far from perfect, isn't it? It is not a perfect place. And yet it is pretty amazing. It is an amazing place. And in many ways, a wonderful place. John, in his tremendous vision, after he has seen how God will ultimately conquer all that is wrong in the world and make everything right, begins to have glimpses of heaven. Zion. New Jerusalem. And maybe, just maybe, how we will live in that city, in that heaven, in that place. The first truth he gives us is that we will be in perfect worship. We will worship instead of going to the temple. God Almighty is the temple. Everywhere in heaven will be worshiped. God will be our meeting house. You ever been, heard somebody maybe at someone's house and maybe somebody sing a gospel or somebody start to say something and they say, well, we're about to have church here. You ever heard that? We're about to have church here. We're going to have church there, brothers and sisters. We're going to have church all the time. Now, some of you are saying, oh, no, not church all the time. You know, the one thing I want to tell you, it's true. There is no boring worship. Now, I've attended some boring worship services. How about you? I heard about the preacher who was beginning to preach his message, and he noticed that Horace, who was sitting with George, had fallen asleep during his sermon. Fallen asleep. Nobody here ever does that, amen? You're all right unless the preacher falls asleep. Now, if he goes, we're in trouble. But there Horace was, sound asleep. In fact, not only was he asleep, but he was snoring just a little bit, you know. You're all right to sleep, but please, don't snore. And so, afraid it was going to disrupt the whole service, he looked over at George, and he said, George, will you please wake Horace up? To which George immediately responded, I didn't put him to sleep. You wake him up, preacher. I've been in boring worship services. I think there's only two reasons why a worship service could be boring. One is the people leading it aren't well prepared. And that can be boring. But what I'm more guilty of sometimes is that maybe I'm not prepared. Maybe I'm not prepared. You ever entered the worship center distracted? No, not us. You ever enter with something on your heart and mind so heavy that it's just interfering with everything God might say? God is so kind, He won't force Himself on us, will He? He won't overpower us. Sometimes I wish He would smack us around, but we'd all be bruised, wouldn't we, if He ever chose to start smacking us around. How have you come to worship today? Can you imagine having just sat down to your Thanksgiving meal and done all you could do? I mean, done all you could do. And the turkey already working on you with all those things turkey has. I mean, you have literally gotten up from the table having eaten a feast. And someone said, well, why don't we go to McDonald's and get something to eat? You're going to probably say, no. I don't think so. Can I ask us a question? I want to reverse it. Have we been to McDonald's, to the ways of this world so much, and eaten so many happy meals this world has to offer, that when we come to the feast table of our Lord, we just say, nah, I can't eat. I'm not prepared. I'm too full of other things. True worship is when a hungry heart, a hungry mind, a hungry life comes before God and says, God, more than anything else, I need you to feed me today. I need to feast on your word. I need to understand what you want to do in my life, because when I understand what you want to do, then I understand what I need to do. Does that make sense? When I understand, God, your precepts, your ways, your laws, your commandments, the folks on Wednesday nights have been bearing with me for 2 years, it feels like, doesn't it? We've been looking at Psalms 119. Over and over that psalmist talks about your word. I meditate on it day and night. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You wonder where that verse comes from in Bible school? That's where it comes from, Psalms 119. And over, he says, I delight in your word. I delight in your law. I delight in your commandments. I delight in your rules. I delight in your precepts. And what he's telling us in that long, 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 long psalm is that when we feed on God's word, we're prepared to face anything. we're prepared to face anything. Perfect worship. Perfect worship. In heaven, I want you to know, worship won't be boring. Let me ask you for just a moment to consider the greatest worship experience you ever had. Maybe it's when you accepted Christ. Maybe you sat there and God's Spirit was so real to you. You knew that you were going to make that decision. You knew it was your time. You knew that you were going to walk down the aisle and you were going to publicly say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to live the rest of my life for Him. And you remember how maybe even the hairs on the back of your neck were standing up and your pulse had quickened just a little bit. And maybe your palms were just a little bit sweaty because you knew what you were about to do was stand in the presence of a holy God and offer your life to Him. Think of that greatest moment. I have shared with you my call experience when God called me to preach when I was 14. That's young. But I remember one night, one holy night in my life. One holy night in my life, and maybe a glimpse for me of what heaven might be like. At 14 years of age in Lewiston, at the church where my daddy was pastor, we never locked the church, never had to back then. And I found myself making my way there many times, most of the time by myself. Sometimes some other of us would go and pray, but this night I went by myself and I was struggling. I had talked to people. I had done everything I could to determine whether God was really calling me. And I understood how young I was. I understood that I might even change my mind. I understood that a lot of that. And I just was talking to God. We had done a thing on conversational prayer. Boy, if you remember that, you date yourself. But conversational prayer was big during that time. Well, you just go and talk to God. And I was talking to God, 14 years old, and I remember standing in the pulpit, very much like this one. And I was saying stuff like this to God. I was saying, God, I'm thinking about giving my life over to You. And that's a big commitment from me, God. That's a big commitment. I've lived in the preacher's house all my life. I know about living in a preacher's house. So here's the deal, God. And I was 14. Don't start a conversation, young people, with, here's the deal, God, that's not good. But that was the way it was for me. Here's the deal, God, if You really want me to do this, if this is really where my life wants to go, then I need to see something. I've got a lot of faith, but I need something I can handle. I'd like to see You, God. I just want You right here. We're here, just You and me here in the sanctuary. I just want You to appear to me. I just want to see You, God. And then I'll know. I'll know. I'll know absolutely. When I see You, God, I'll know for sure this is what You want me to do. And I can be fully and totally and completely committed to it. 14 years old. Have I mentioned that I was 14 when I was doing this? And I remember kind of spreading my feet out and bracing up. And I told all God why I thought we needed to have this experience, He and I. All that needed to take place and how it was just going to really change everything. And I really felt like God was getting on board with it, you know. I'd convinced myself and I thought probably I'd convince God. And so I grabbed hold of the pulpit kind of like this, spread my feet out a little bit. And I said, okay, God, I'm ready. Let me see You. Now, I don't know in time how long this moment took. But it changed my life. It changed my life. Because somewhere, maybe a nanosecond, I don't know what it was. It was short. But stuff started flooding through my heart, through my mind. And I realized that I had God's full attention at that moment. Well, I didn't realize I always had God's full attention, but I realized it at that moment. At that moment, it became crystal clear to me that I was standing in the presence of the Almighty God who had created everything. And I realized my condition, even at age 14. And I'm surprised Daddy or somebody didn't come running because I screamed as loud as I could, no God, no God, I don't need that. I don't need that. I got you. And I want to tell you, I had church right there in the dark by myself. I darkened the building because I figured God might be bright, and I didn't want lights to mess it up. And in the dark, in that moment, I glimpsed the power of God. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. Glad I didn't. I remember a verse later on, if anybody sees God, he dies. So isn't that good I didn't see God? But oh, I had that moment, and that was a moment I can remember today. And the hairs of my on the back of my neck began to stand up as I told you that story, because I still remember it that powerfully. What was your moment? What was your great moment of worship? When did you really know that God was your God, your personal God? That God loved you and wanted relationship, not about you, but with you. And if you'll multiply that. In fact, not only that. Let's even go beyond that, because that's probably good, but not good enough. Think for a moment, what's the greatest experience of your entire life? The greatest moment you've ever had. The greatest moment that you've ever experienced. The moment that you just, wow. And I want to tell you that when we are worshiping God, when we are having church in heaven, it'll be a billion times greater than what you and I have ever experienced on this planet. No, there'll be no boring worship. We will dwell in worship. We won't go to worship. We will be in worship. I love the second truth he gives us. He says that not only will we be in this perfect state of worship, but we will be in perfect ways in the perfect place. There'll be perfect worship, and there'll be perfect ways. There won't be imperfect ways. Our imperfect attempts will be replaced with perfection. Now, true worship should change behavior. People expect those of us who are in church to be different, don't they? I heard a story about a young lady that was sunbathing at the beach. When a little boy came up in his swimming trunks, he was about 8 years old. He had a towel. He came up to her and never seen her before in his life. He walked up to her, 8 years old. "Excuse me, ma'am. Do you believe in God?" That's a pretty powerful question for an 8 year old on the beach to come ask somebody sunbathing, isn't it? Surprised, she said, "Well, yes, I do." He thought you could tell those 8 year old wheels were turning. "Do you go to church every Sunday?" he asked. Again, she answered, "Well, yes, I do." That was good, but he still wasn't satisfied. "Do you read your Bible every day?" "Every day." Well, now she was beginning to be a little bit concerned about the way this conversation was going, but she said, "Yes, honey, I do. I read my Bible every day." He kind of shook his head, 8 years old. "How about prayer? Do you pray every day?" "Oh, yes, I do. Why are you asking me these questions?" He thought, and a little peace came across his face. And then he said, "Would you hold my money while I go swimming?" You see, he won't know who he's going to leave his money with. He wanted to leave his money with someone that had God ways. He knew what church is supposed to be. He knew what people of God were supposed to look like. Perfect ways. You know, there's a difference in going to worship and worshiping. I can visit the firehouse down here at Deep River, but that doesn't make me a fireman. I can go stand in the woods, but that doesn't make me a tree. I can come sit in this building when everyone's worshiping and not be a worshiper. I got that option. You got that option. God might be speaking all around me. You ever been sitting at a table and three or four conversations were going on? Maybe you were even in one, but you really weren't listening to the one you were in. You were listening to the one next door. You, You weren't there? You can do that right here, can't you? I mean, here we are dwelling on the perfect place, God's plan for our life, and we can be thinking about, I wonder what we're going to have for lunch today. Or what about that problem at work? What am I going to do? Or what about that issue I haven't resolved yet? What am I going to do? The scriptures say that in that place, nothing unclean will ever enter it. No one who does detestable or false, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, will have perfect ways. Perfect ways. Finally, the golden rule, the do unto others as you would have them do unto you in heaven. It will be golden, and it will be all our ways. Finally, this morning, perfect water. A river. What an image of the river flowing. You go back to Genesis. We're told that from the garden there's a river flowing and it makes four. Two we know about, the Tigris and the Euphrates. The other two are gone. We don't know exactly where it was. God didn't want us to know. But yet, in heaven. Remember, Bible times are desert and semi-desert. Rivers were important. The River Jordan that flowed through the middle of Israel was important. God chose that fertile place because it was so important. And it was in the River Jordan where John was baptizing, in the river. The river is important. It meant life. We get glimpses of that in John's gospel when Jesus is talking first to the woman at the Samaritan well, when he says, I could give you from the spring of life, he says. And those who drink from that well, from that spring, maybe that spring that's starting this river that flows from heaven, one would live forever. And I love what he says in John chapter 7, verse 37. Let me just read it. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Those who believe in Jesus will have from their heart, like in heaven, rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. Indeed, John, in this great image, he says, and the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side was a tree of life and its fruit. Isn't that a great image? Rivers mean different things to us. In fact, in ancient cultures, they used to mean crossing over the river. In Egypt especially, they talked about the journey of death, crossing the river. Some of you may have heard at funerals that poem, Twilight and Evening Star, and One Sure Call for Me, Let There Be No Weeping, when I set out to sea, and it's called The Crossing of the Bar. And that bar was that river image. Max Lucado, in his book, 6 Hours One Friday, tells a story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote area, and there was a tremendous sickness in their tribe. And there was treatment not far away, a hospital just across the river and a mile or two away. But they wouldn't cross the river. The river in their culture was inhabited by evil spirits, and if anyone entered the river, they would surely die. And so they had a pond behind the tribe where they got all their water, and they lived next to the river, but they never went into the water of the river. The missionary tried to explain that they needed to cross, they needed to get to the hospital, that there was help at the hospital, but they weren't going to cross that river. He took them to the river, and he jumped in a canoe that they used in the pond, and he floated out, and he said, see, there's no harm, but they weren't impressed. because they still believed that the river was evil. Finally, he dove into the river and he swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist as he stepped out of the river. He had escaped the evil water, and the native villagers broke out in cheer and they followed him across. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He entered the river of death and he came out on the other side. And now, in this perfect place, there's another river flowing, one that no longer has death. In this place, there's no problems, there's no pain, there's no death, there's no frustration, there's no sin, there's no lying, there's no cheating, there's no harm, there's no injury, there's no disease, there's no pain or sorrow or parting. Perfect water. The perfect water that flows from heaven will come our way. A perfect place. I've never been there, but I got a ticket. I got a ticket. I didn't buy it. It bought for me and given to me by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day that's where I'm going to spend a long, long time. A long, long time. A perfect place. God's going to be on his throne, and I'm going to live in a level of worship that I've never experienced. Come close a few times. But I'm going to dwell there. I believe the first words that come from a person's mouth when they cross the other side. Lenny did that this week. Might be to quote Matt. Perfect. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, you who make all things new, you have a day planned like we can't imagine, but help us to imagine. You have hope for us, even when we need extra hope. And you know every need here in this place right now. You know right now if your spirit is dealing with someone and you're quickening their heart and you're encouraging them to step out and to step forth and to give their heart and life to you. You know that there's a person here who needs to, because of your power and your presence in their life right now, need to make some decision, some change, some commitment. God, you know every heart, just like you knew my heart when I was 14. And you know our need. May we be found faithful in your perfect will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 608. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, would you respond to him? Would you respond to him as we stand together and sing? I can hardly wait till we all come back at 7 o'clock tonight to hear what God will be saying next. And I know you'll want to come and be a part of that service as our young people will be leading us in a very special way. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's perfect peace, in His perfect power, and in His perfect presence, that we might be His people who one day will be perfect. Would you pray? God, go with us. Help us, as we have been in Your presence, to share that presence with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.